Praise the Lord. Good morning, Zoe. Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers and father figures here today. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're going to take this day, as it is a holiday, to celebrate fathers. And we got three fathers. When I talk about fathers today, I want you to think about, first of all, our Heavenly Father. Amen? Amen. God always speaks to us in terms of relationships. He says, and we'll read this throughout the scripture today, he talks about being a father to the people, to his people. And implicit in that is our understanding of what a father is. And I want to qualify what a father is a father is a male figure, preferably your father, your biological father, that's in your life. Okay, that's speaking to you, raising you, teaching you, and so forth. That's the perception that God uses throughout the scripture referring to a father. Now, I'm not really referring to fathers who are biological, but not there. Okay, you know, they got a term nowadays, baby daddy. I was listening earlier in the week and as some women were talking about going through the office, where are the baby daddies? And then they used another term to distinguish between the fathers. That's how people are talking. That's just how they were talking. Let's see the baby daddies, and then let's see the fathers. So that's something that we need to understand, that being a father is really an important role. And that role impacts the entire family, impacts the extended family, impacts the community, impacts really the country, and impacts the world at large, okay? And when we understand the role of a father, because that's the most difficult role, okay? Because implicit behind being a father is being a man. Okay, now, ladies, you know, you when you want to get married, you want to marry a man. You don't want to marry a, oh, see, they know already. Okay, so what I'm saying, when I talk about a father, I'm coming from that perspective, and we're going to see it in the Word of God, amen? And this is how the Heavenly Father refers when he speaks to a father in our lives. Now, some of you may not have your biological father, but you may have a father figure in your life, and those work just as well. Amen? Amen? Okay, so, and some of you may be blessed to have many fathers. You have the Heavenly Father, you got your natural father, you may have another father in your life, you have your pastor. Amen. A pastor is a father figure in your life. And what happens is, the more you got, the more blessed you are. Amen. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he got married, and his wife already had a child, and her father was still alive. And so I said, are you referred to as stepfather, or how are you referred to as? A bonus dad. She's blessed. She's got extra. Okay. Amen. So what happens is, to understand all of these relationships in your life, amen, and how they impact your life, because they have a direct correlation, okay? And the most important one to get is the relationship with God, okay? Because when you learn how God fathers, then you will learn how to father, and you'll learn how to father correctly, because you may have father figures in your life, but some of them are not doing right, amen? So let's get into the Word this morning, see what the Word of God tells us today. Now, the theme here is the importance of a father in your life. Now, on this day, Father's Day, a father is to be honored. That's something, let me stop there for just a moment and talk about honor. Most people do not know how to honor correctly, in America especially. We got this whole attitude of being a rugged individual. I made my own way. No, you didn't. I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. No, you got some of these groups out here saying, I'm an independent woman. I don't need a man. You crazy. Because implicit behind that, we say, God, you didn't know what you were doing. I think God knew what he was doing. Okay? So what happens here, when it comes to honoring is where you take time out to say, I'm grateful. Thank you. And go ahead and say that I respect and see the value of what you have done. Okay? See, people value a lot of things. And when they value something, they take time, they spend their time there, they spend their money on it, and I'm telling you something, no questions asked. Okay? Whatever you value in life, your money's there, your time's there, your energy, your thoughts, your aspirations, your life is caught up into it. Okay? But when we take time to say to our parents, or especially to our fathers this day, that we honor you. The time that you've taken, the sacrifice that you've made, the things that you did for me, because not all fathers. Okay. And so God is behind honoring because God has set up the system of authority. All authority comes from God. Legal, sanctioned authority ultimately emanates from God, and all rebellion against authority is actually against God's order. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. Now, since God set up an authority, and authority was sanctioned by him, it means that this reflects God's will. Amen? Now, here in Exodus chapter 20, the word of God tells in verse 12, he says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So now, the Lord here is speaking to the children of Israel, speaking to Moses, and he's talking about the word honor. That's interesting. But then when he tells them to honor them, he also says there's a blessing behind that with you'll be do well in the land and long life. Okay? So this word that God says to honor now tells the people that there's something they should be doing at a young age. Okay. Now, why is this important? Well, the ultimate parent is the one who brought forth man into existence, is God. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've never seen God. I haven't. But I have seen my parents. If you're going to learn obedience, you're going to learn obedience from your parents before you're going to learn obedience from God. Because I can see my parents. Okay? They're going to talk to me. They talked to me when I was a kid. Said, Keith, do this. Keith, do that. The blessing, get some reward. The cursing, what's the belt? And God does the same thing. Okay? Blessing, there is prosperity, increase in your life, wholeness, healing. But if there's disobedience, there's separation from him, there's death, there's poverty. So what happens is, ultimately, God wants us to honor him. So he knows that, hey, kids, we're young. So we have to learn at an early age by honoring the authority figures in our life so that we'll honor the ultimate authority of life, which is God. So what happens is God is training us. God is cultivating us to honor. And if you can't honor those who provide for you, or as the world says, if you bite the hand that feeds you, you got a problem. And you know, people do that all day long. And for people who do that, you have to pray for them. But look at this. God says, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother. Now let's stop there. Do we really take time out to honor? Because what I see a lot of times happening is, and not to say that some of this isn't true, but it seems like there's a lot of now talking about, well, you know, they denigrate the man or the woman, and now you don't know if you got you can't have same-sex parents for a mother and a father. I don't know how that works. It's getting confusing. Okay, and God is not the author of confusion. Okay, but what these kids are facing today wasn't even a question in our mind 20 years ago. Okay, but God is very specific. Honoring thy father and thy mother, because that shows now you respect God's way of doing things, and it will respect you, because if you do mess up, they do have the authority to correct. And one thing about rebellion, it never likes correction. And so if you're rebellious toward your parents, you're rebellious toward God. I don't care how much you say you love God. If you're rebellious to those that God has put over you to develop you, you're rebellious toward God. But, you know, I notice in kind of like the Hollywood scene or in the culture, it's like it's cool to be rebellious. Have you noticed that? Yep. Let me tell you, it's not cool with God. The devil is tricky, and he's slick, because he'll want you to think, how kids are. See, you go, if your kids get around someone, a kid that's rebellious, and goes over to our person's friend's house, and the father over there says, Johnny, keep your room clean and do this. And then Johnny starts talking back. You know how that happens. Then your kid watches that. Johnny can say that. Maybe I'll try that. Of his house, they go to church, know about the word of God. So now Bobby tries it. Bobby's father said, we don't play it over here. We're gonna stop that right now. No, you take care of that. What happens is Johnny now learns to respect authority. I mean, Bobby learns to respect authority. Johnny go now, once he tries that with his father, gets with it. Now he thinks he could do it to a police officer. Police officers are not going to treat your son or daughter the same way. And I don't care if your son or daughter is 18, 20, 30, 40, 50 on up.
Or 12.
Amen. Amen. They're not going to care about that. And what happens is learning these principles at a young age will help you all throughout your life. Amen. You know, you can tell people who've learned how to honor correctly and how to respect authority. They talk differently. They act differently. Okay? There's a way you can do things. Amen? And when you learn how to honor properly, then what happens is you just don't do certain things. You just don't, okay? Like I mentioned before, I noticed in some of these countries where they have royal families, they just don't act like other countries, even though they have arguments and disagreements. You know, I'm looking like what's going on over in the Middle East. You know, in some of these countries like Jordan, you know, they have uprising, but they're not saying we're going to throw the king out. They say we need just to work out some of these situations. Other countries, They're over there, their leadership is killing them. Killing them. You know? And it is something different when you learn how to respect authority, and it starts off with learning how to respect your mother and your father. Okay? And those mother and father figures, because it helps you directly with your relationship with God. It's important that we get this. It's important. Because God wants to get this at a young age. Why? I'm going to tell you something. Your character, your personality is formed by what? By the time you're five, Mom? Five. My mom was a teacher for, what, 40 years? 37. I want to give you a little extra credit. Praise the Lord. We can have some fun in the Lord. Amen. 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 So. Amen. 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 So what happens, a child's character is formed by the age they're 5 years old. And you know one thing that's the hardest thing to change? Is a person's character. Because once that character is formed, that's what makes you you. Okay. Now, character can be changed. That's what the Word of God does. See, I can't do that. I can't change you. If I was trying to change people, I would be dead by now. But God can. Amen. And He changes people through His Word. Okay, so now once we start to understand that God wants us to honor our parents because it's a reflection of authority, which relates right back to Him. So if you dishonor your parents, you directly dishonor God. Why? Because He established that authority. Critical. Like I said before, think about this. Talk about honoring and learning the value of that. You go out here and let's say you kill somebody. Nobody in here, of course, but just figuratively speaking. And they don't catch you right away. Do you know that every law enforcement agency in this land will pursue you? They will look for you. If one of them catches you, they will return you to the location where you committed that crime. If you don't get caught here in America, let's say, and you hop to a foreign country, if they find you there, you be subject to being brought back here. In other words, because you have broken the law, been disobedient to authority or the law, that anywhere in the world they will pursue you, and if they capture you, will bring you to justice. So what happens here, because the authority of the law has been set up. We've been seeing that recently, people getting caught. They go catch people down in Mexico. I remember this case was about a few months ago. They caught this young kid down in Mexico committing murder for the cartels down there. 12-year-old. 12-year-old. Born in San Diego. Caught him down in Mexico, and they interviewed, what are you doing this for? He said, well, I work for the cartel. They wanted young kids on the American side of the border, so they wouldn't have to do all the full prosecution, and they can go to, like, juvenile or retention or something like that. But he was cutting heads off and all that, 12 years old. Like, you're talking about 12, okay? This is serious, okay? But they caught him in Mexico, brought him back. Or actually, he killed him in Mexico. They found him in the United States, and they brought him back to Mexico. So this whole understanding of honoring teaches you, when you honor, you get taught to respect. And when you don't honor, you don't learn how to honor, you're not taught really how to respect authority and leadership and really respect God, okay? Because now when you see that God's appointed, you're giving you your parents, and you're blessed. Let me say, if you're blessed, you got good parents. You are blessed if you got good parents, and not everybody has that. Okay. When you have that in your life, and those people in your life, they develop you and they enrich your life. See, when we have God in our life, we're enriched. Sometimes we look at just, well, I don't have this, I don't have that. No, you're enriched. Your life is based upon relationships. What do you mean, Pastor, my life is born based upon relationships? We're talking out here about honoring your mother and your father, and in today's Father's Day, so in particular, honoring our fathers. When you are born into the world, for the vast majority of people, they're born into a relationship immediately. You're instantly born into a relationship with your mother because you come out of the womb. She's been dealing with you for 9 months. She tries to say, I'm ready to birth this baby. I've been carrying around. So it could be somewhat independent. Because whatever I eat, she eat. When I want to sleep, the baby sleeps. When I want to turn, I got to be concerned about the baby for 9 months. Now, I don't really know because I'm not a woman, you know. But for the ladies in here who are mothers, you really know. Every one of us were born into a relationship. In this relationship you're born into, you didn't choose your father. You didn't choose your mother. You didn't choose your nationality. You didn't choose your ethnicity. You didn't choose your name. There's very, very little in life that is chosen by us. Most things we deal with. Amen. So when you are born into a relationship. And in that relationship, whatever God has given you, you are to honor that. Amen. And so what happens is, that means, Lord, first of all, be born healthy is a gift. And then with that relationship that you're born into, you're to honor that. So in other words, what God is telling us, you're to honor what God has given you with that relationship no matter what. Not because you had a silver spoon in your mouth or not. And so here we learn how to walk with God. Most people talk about how to respect and honor. When you learn how to be content with what you have, I mean, most of us, I mean, I'll say this much. I wasn't born with a lot. I was born with a good family and all that. But we weren't rich people, were we? I got a check, you never know. Here. You learn how to be content with whatever you got. If you don't know that you're supposed to have royal families have a lot, you don't know about that, you think you're rich. And I'll tell you something. No matter what a little child will do, go back and ask his parents, I want this. I want that. Because they think what? There you go. Mommy and daddy can do it. Why? Because they always provided. So we learn now how to put our trust in our parents for our provision. Now, the same thing we're supposed to do with our Heavenly Father. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. So what happens is we see in the natural, what God uses the natural, how we can relate to him in the spiritual. Amen? Because in the natural, we don't really know a lot about the Spirit. We're getting taught as we grow. But God uses these things called parables. And what's a parable? A parable is a spiritual truth that can be seen in natural, everyday life. And he uses that parable for us to gain an understanding of the spirit realm, or how to flow and how to work with God and how God does things. Look what happens here in Matthew chapter 6 in relationship of how our earthly parents and earthly life, we get taken care of by our parents, and that now God does the same thing in the spirit realm. Here in Matthew chapter 6, let's pick up here in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your own body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. What is he talking about now? Provision. What is he talking about? Provision. Providing. See, he's using a natural event that happens to explain something about how God takes care of things. When we're children, all of your provision comes from your natural parents or those who are your guardians or parents in your life. A baby doesn't work. A baby doesn't even understand the concept of money. A baby doesn't even know that he or she really exists. They don't know how to speak. But every need comes from the parent. And they were born into that relationship. Okay. Here, Jesus is telling us the same thing, how our Heavenly Father provides for us. Let's continue on. Verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Why? Here the people were concerned about getting their needs met. They were concerned about provision, food, clothing. Hey, the same stuff people are concerned about today. Finances, jobs, homes, housing, all the very same things that we're concerned about right now. But when you were a kid, were you concerned about that? I don't care if you were living in government-provided for housing. You can say, this is the way life is. You go out, run out and play. I'm going to go out and play with the kids, and you may have some stick in a little ball. You may have never really gone to a lot of other places like some other families. But that wasn't really that important. It was just you were out playing. You know, that was the big thing. And so what happens is, as far as you were concerned, you had a place to sleep, you got some food, you got to go out and play. You were happy because the provision. Here the Lord is telling us how the Father provides for us. Take no thought. But somehow, as we grow older, we don't continue to depend upon God. We try to become independent. And there's no such thing as being independent of God because he is our life. Okay. The Bible tells us, cast your cares upon the Lord, for he careth for you. And as you mentioned earlier today, Deacon, that people keep trying to cast their cares on the Lord, but then they want to take them right back. Right. See, what happens, the Lord is teaching us how to walk by faith. Okay. A little kid is full of faith. They think mommy and daddy are a superman or superwoman. And they may not have anything. But why? You keep meeting their needs. Somehow you get us fed. You did it yesterday. I know you're going to do it tomorrow. Don't let them find out that money is made out of paper and comes from a tree. They'll just say, well, why can't you? Little kids so full of faith, why can't you? But when it comes to God, we say, will he? You see, what happens is God has used all these relationships, and in particular, the father relationship. Because why? Usually, it's not as much as today as it were years ago, but usually the father would work, the mother would be at home raising the children, the kids would be in school or things like that. So the entire family income came from one source. Okay, and most of those, you guys are have a little history in life, you know that. And so what happened there is then the father would be seen as the what? Provider. Okay. So what happens there, if you're going to have some shoes, mommy said, okay, let's see what daddy's going to say about it. And we look at the budget and whatever and so forth. Okay. Now, Jesus is telling us, your father knows what you need, and he is going to supply but have faith. So we're taking this natural example here to show how a reflection of God. Because like I said, I've never seen God. But when I start to learn now how God is using these natural examples, we need to point to him. Okay, because let's be honest, the Father's provision is really based upon God too. We don't know what life has for us the next day. Every day you get up is another day that you're going to walk by faith. Amen? Amen. Especially nowadays. Especially nowadays. Look what Jesus says here. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what withal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So what happens here is now it says the heavenly Father knows. See, when we learn how now to honor properly, I gotta ask some of the fathers in here. Have you ever been where, because your son or your daughter was with you and they were doing right, that you just wanted to do something for them? Like maybe go to a baseball game, get them some ice cream, take them to Mickey D's, maybe real big time Disneyland. Because they were doing, getting some good grades in school, keeping their room clean or whatever, that you just wanted to do something for them. Do you know that God is the ultimate Father? His thoughts toward us are always good. He's waiting on us to line up with him. When he sees that you're doing right, his thought is now, how can I bless her daughter? See, remember, you were, as in our natural life, we were born into a relationship. When you get saved, you are born into a relationship where God is your heavenly Father. And in that relationship, that with any good father, his desire is to see the best for his children. So then, if you're a blood-bought child of the Lord, why would he want anything bad for you? Your natural father, being a good father, wouldn't want that for you. Amen? So when you talk about honoring, part of that honoring is doing what's right. Amen? And that brings favor upon our lives with our natural fathers and with our heavenly Father. And I'm telling you, just learning how to honor properly, it opens the door. Because what happens? Here we see that, now Jesus is painting this picture of people in everyday life, but what he's really showing is God's heart towards his people when they trust him, they honor him, they obey him. His thoughts toward us are good. See, a lot of people have a problem with that. They think God is going to get them. God doesn't have to do anything to get you. Just disobedience brings that on. All he has to do is just watch. That's just the way the system's set up. He didn't have to actually go against you. It will just happen. See, actually, God is our protection. It's like, for example, when you're walking out in the rain, if you don't have an umbrella, you're going to get wet. God is your protection. He's that umbrella. Okay? And what that umbrella is in the spirit realm is really obedience. Not to say that you won't have any challenges or trials in your life, but God's on your side. Why? Because you're following him. But all this is taught through honoring, being respectful, learning how to flow with God. And he knows we all got needs. We all got concerns. And Jesus explicitly states here in Matthew chapter 6 that the Lord knows that, but he wants our priorities correct. He says in verse 30, seek you first the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you something. This has happened. I'm going to take us to another passage of scripture. When your priorities get off and you start now seeking to do things that are not really the right things, it'll cause you to have very big problems in your relationships with people and with God. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15. One thing about walking with God, it teaches you how to be humble. You can't be prideful and walk with God. Somewhere there's going to be a clash along the way. Now, God, you know, you can start off being very boastful and think you're all that. But when you start walking with God, you'll start to become very humble because you'll start to understand the value and what he's really doing for you. See, we're all here because God's protected us. You know, some of us should have been died a long time ago in a car accident. Some of us, you know, some of the people here may have been, because their addictions should have killed you a long time ago. Because of the grace of God and his divine protection, you're here today. You'll start that when you walk with God to understand, Lord, it wasn't really about me or what I thought I've accomplished. It's really not, I understand, Lord, what you've done for me is by your grace, your unmerited favor toward me that I stand here. And that humbles us. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Now, here's a passage we often refer to as the prodigal son. But what I wanted to show you in this passage, we're talking about Father's Day. I want to show you a father's heart toward a son or daughter who's been rebellious, and how a good father really cares. We all make mistakes. We all miss the mark. We all mess up. But it's the father that's going to really stand there, even allow you to go through some rough stuff so that you will learn. Because sometimes, you know, kids and people need to be learned. Through experience. Why? It'll knock all of that prideful spirit out of them. Because I'm telling you, you're dealing with some teenagers who don't understand how to honor. They will think they know more than you. They will tell you why they think more than you. And they're just foolish. Here's a classic example of that in the Bible. Here in Luke 15, let's pick up in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. So this man was a what? A father. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. Now listen to this. Now, father, check this out. His younger son.